Welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. The focus of the message today is all about the longings of our heart and how each one of them is directly tied to a spiritual need in our lives. When something is lacking deep within us, we often resort to using the good elements and blessings of life as a primary source of comfort and happiness, rather than finding satisfaction in Jesus. When this occurs, we may not even realize that our hearts are gradually being enticed to love the gifts of God more than the gift giver himself. Anytime our minds are fixated on something we want more than Jesus, then that thing, person, project, or habit has become an idol. And idols all have one thing in common. They demand more of us than what we are capable of giving. A balanced life in Christ is one without any other idols on the throne of your heart. Regardless of whether you're currently in a state of balance or you're struggling to break free from too much of a good thing, you always have room for more of Jesus. So I invite you to join me now as we explore what God's Word has to say about moving from a self-fulfillment mindset to a soul-satisfying mentality. Human history is filled with powerful stories about what happens when an individual or a group of people hit their enough is enough moment. Usually it happens after a long time of enduring the consequences of too much of a good thing. In other words, something that was once perceived as a good thing, whether it actually was or not, goes really south and eventually reaches the boiling point. It is that point at which change is sparked, when the powder keg of freedom is finally lit. While there are things, habits, or relationships that may not be good for us from the start, the self-induced chains that sneak up on us most often are those things that once had harmless or even beneficial beginnings. I often marvel at how many times I've had to reach the enough is enough point with issues in life. I used to believe that I would eventually be savvy enough to recognize the encroachment or overrun of anything long before I would have to begin the hard work of making corrections and recovering from the consequences of having or doing too much. But now I have come to understand that as long as there are things to be enjoyed and productivity to be pursued, Satan will always try to lure me to pursue something good until it spoils. I may learn how to draw impenetrable boundaries with one specific thing, but as long as I'm living on this earth, new things will keep appearing. God will continue to provide tremendous blessings, but the temptations to overuse them will keep coming. After all, that's Satan's self-assigned job. He's passionate about twisting anything good into something bad. But my God-assigned job is even more powerful. I'm called to be passionate about relying on Jesus to help me both enjoy the blessings and endure the trials for his glory. Neither the pursuit of good things or the struggle over bad things should ever eclipse my love for and my trust in God. Sometimes we know that a good thing has turned sour long before we do anything about it. I've been waiting on my enough is enough moment regarding a particular issue for a long time. I've seen it coming for months now, and I've even longed for it, but have been unable to make it arrive sooner. I've also simultaneously dreaded reaching that point because when it arrives, it brings with it the discomfort of change, the difficulty of discipline, and the limitations of new boundary lines. But my life is crying out for it after a prolonged season of excess and counterfeit freedom. For me, reaching the point of being fed up enough to make a change is kind of like insomnia. The more I try to make myself fall asleep, the more elusive it becomes. Whatever this mental hurdle is called, I'm sure there must be a name for it. I've encountered it in almost every area of my life at one time or another. Whether it's insomnia or an overcommitted schedule, overeating, or even relationships, the motivation to finally draw the line in the sand and return to balance can be one of the most difficult things in life to find. And since there is no aspect of life that is not vulnerable to being overrun or overindulged, we could often find ourselves craving the motivation to make change in multiple areas. Two people in the Bible who articulated what it's like to deal with having too much of a good thing are King Solomon and the Apostle Paul. While there is much to glean from their writings on the subject, they each handled the problem very differently. Solomon allowed the blessings of God to become his God until it was too late, finally seeking redemption at the end of his life. The gifts of marriage and financial comfort and physical indulgence completely engulfed his every waking hour, eventually making him numb to anything meaningful, including the Lord's presence. In Ecclesiastes 1:14, he gives us the theme of the book, quote, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind," unquote. Time and time again, he reminds us that the pleasures of life, the knowledge of the world, and even the work we perform all have bottomless pits. There is no point at which we can experience complete satisfaction in anything other than God. Ecclesiastes 1:8 says, quote, "All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing," unquote. And we read in chapter 6, verse 7, quote, "Everyone's toil is for the mouth, yet the appetite is never satisfied," unquote. Ecclesiastes is a cautionary lament from an old man who allowed himself to become so ensnared by good things that many years of his life were wasted wallowing in regret and feeling the pain of self-induced consequences. Solomon is a great example of a mistake we often make when we reach our breaking point. As you read Ecclesiastes, it becomes clear that he took everything to the extreme. When he reached the bottom of trying one thing, he'd push another thing to the brink. Just as his ancestors did in the desert when they gathered too much manna, Solomon ignored God's boundaries and ran after excess of blessings. The result was the same. A beautiful thing became spoiled and unsatisfactory to consume any longer. Sometimes when we finally declare enough is enough and design our action plan for change, we only turn around and fall into a different pit of extremes. Rather than embracing the much-needed adjustment with a healthy intensity of change, we take drastic measures, somehow trading one obsession for another. Like rebounding from a bad relationship into an opposite but equally detrimental one, we feel compelled to wipe away everything associated with the thing we had too much of. And yet, so again, we often respond to an imbalance in our lives with another imbalance. For example, the person who couldn't say no and becomes so burned out on volunteering that she pulls out of serving altogether. Or another common one is the person who diets, who swears off an entire food group versus learning the valuable discipline of eating in moderation. It doesn't matter what the issue is, we can all relate to the mistake of going to extremes in an act of desperation. That's because when we let anything reach a severe level and feel the gravity of the choices that God is there, our human nature tells us to counteract it with equal force. Ever since the Garden of Eden, humankind has felt the need to punish itself once exposed to the light of conviction. Yet the only one who could adequately punish us for our sins instead offers us forgiveness and wholeness forevermore. And this is where the example of Paul's life gives us the very hope which Solomon was struggling to find until the end of his life. Although he wasn't a king like Solomon with limitless power and money, Paul had tasted what it was like to go to extremes and come up empty. As a paid mercenary for the Jewish Leadership Council in Jerusalem, Paul had a blank check when it came to persecuting Christians. And he was passionate about it too. He had also earned plenty of cash doing what he loved. But then Jesus stepped into the picture and everything changed. After Paul's conversion experience with the risen Christ, I'm sure he was tempted to punish himself, but instead he was saturated with the grace and mercy poured out upon him by Jesus, and then spent the rest of his life sharing the same with others. Rather than endlessly search for earthly satisfaction as Solomon did, Paul allowed Jesus to bring it to him. Just listen to how differently Paul looks at life compared to Solomon. Philippians 4:11 through 13 says, quote, "I'm not telling you this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I know what it means to lack. I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance, for I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger, and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty." Unquote. Paul was deeply satisfied through the power of God. Solomon was riddled with emptiness and disappointment after chasing everything but God. Paul knew the secret to seeing the travails of earth as meaningful and valuable. Solomon spent his whole life searching for the secret, only to declare that everything was meaningless in the end. Paul figured out that just because something wasn't necessarily harmful, perhaps even what most people would call good, doesn't mean it's beneficial at all times. Solomon viewed the world as his oyster and erroneously believed that God had given it to him to have as much of it as he wanted. When he saw something good, he fooled himself into believing that it was also beneficial in vast quantities. But here's how Paul viewed it in 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 24 and verse 31. Quote, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Unquote. The secret to living life in balance is filtering every choice through the light of the Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when things do get out of balance, when you've lost your focus on glorifying God in a particular area and something that was once good has overrun your life, the secret to reaching your enough is enough moment is exactly the same. Whether you're in a state of balance or just beginning to realize how out of balance life has become, clinging to Jesus is the antidote you need. Everything that can be experienced in this world, even the blessings of God, turn to ruin when out of balance, when consumed too much, when they become more important to us than the gift giver himself. When the thing, relationship, or habit we long for consumes more of our thoughts than Jesus, then it's moved from being a blessing to being an idol. We've moved from a Sabbath margin mentality to a self-fulfillment mindset. By contrast, we can never overdose on the bread of life. We can never exhaust the mercies of our Savior. We will never reach the end of his goodness. We can never max out on the fruits of the Spirit. John 6, 57 through 58 describes the never-ending satisfaction of knowing Jesus more. Quote, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Unquote. Every longing of our hearts that threatens to throw us out of balance points to a spiritual deficit. Every single one. We cannot separate any part of ourselves from who we were created to be in Christ. In most things we long for, we're actually seeking comfort of some sort. Sheila Walsh said in her book, The Longing in Me, quote, "We long for peace, but we often grab control because it makes us feel that we're doing something," unquote. For most of us, that good thing turned bad because we began to seek it not for God's intended purpose, but to fill a need in our lives, a hole in our heart, caused by a wound or a disappointment or an unmet ambition. But no matter what drives our desires, God desires us to be with him even more. There is no yearning on earth that can compare with how much he wants us to rely on him, trust him, and cling to him for our deepest needs. Our Father delights in us, and he longs for us to do the same by seeking him first for our longings, by inviting him into our cravings and desires and letting him fulfill them through his presence and his means, not our own. Psalms 34:8 says, quote, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him," unquote. Did you catch that? When we run to God for our longings, he promises us joy. Not only that, but he rejoices in our need for him. Psalms 140:11 says, quote, "But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love," unquote. If you are in a place of balance today, take a moment to praise God for the sure footing you're currently enjoying. But if the Holy Spirit nudged your heart about something that might be a little off kilter in your life, don't ignore it or pretend you didn't hear it. Don't wait until whatever it is reaches the boiling point. Declare right now that enough is absolutely enough. And if you're concerned about whether you'll have the sufficient motivation and willpower to truly follow through, then I have two suggestions. First, believe and trust in the Holy Spirit to display His power each time you take a step of faith in the right direction. And second, make Paul's rally cry your very own. Romans 6:12-14 says, quote, sin is a dethroned monarch, so you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then, refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to Him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now for His pleasure, ready to be used for His noble purpose. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Unquote. So go ahead, my brother or sister in Christ. Draw your line in the sand and commit to not letting the winds and rains of life wash away every trace of your intention. No matter what comes your way, your victory is already secure if you cling to Jesus. As you think about the good things in your life today, take a moment in prayer and ask God to show you any ways in which you crave the gift more than the gift giver. Be still for at least 5 minutes after you ask Him that question and wait for the Holy Spirit to whisper to your heart, leading you to confession and assuring you of His unending forgiveness and love. And if this message touched you today, I pray you won't stop the process here. Visit the blog for a week-long devotional guide designed to help you draw your line in the sand against the pursuit of empty comfort. And if God lays a name or two on your heart, don't delay before sharing this message with them and asking them to join you on this journey. Study the Word together. Share in your victories so that you can support each other in your struggles. Together, you can push onward to Jesus. Thank you for listening to Glimmers in the Fog. I would love for you to join me next week, so please take a quick second to subscribe to this podcast. You can also get it in your email every week when you sign up for my list. Don't worry, I won't be emailing you more than once a week or sending you any spammy or salesy messages. You'll get the Glimmers message, and that's it. And if you want to share some of your journey with me or ask a question, I would love to connect with you. You can comment on the podcast, at the blog, or reach out in social media. Any way you choose, I would be delighted to hear from you. I look forward to being with you again next week, and in the meantime, I will be praying for you on this journey with Jesus.